This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
Driving through South Austin, you can often find yourself in a different city. We're not talking about San Marcos or Manor, but cities almost entirely surrounded by the city of Austin. Small, independent, island cities. We got a question about how that happened for our AT Explained project. KUT's Audrey McGlinchey looked into it.
It's Saturday morning. I'm at a farmer's market at the Tony Berger Center on Ben White. There's tables full of duck eggs, bell peppers, and in one case, bottles of aromatherapy oils. Austin. But wait, am I in Austin? I stop and ask a young couple. Their names are Zach Taylor and Danielle Davarona.
What city are we in right now?
We are in Sunset Valley.
Damn, you guys are good.
If I go just a few feet north, I'd be in Austin. A mile south, I'd be in Austin. West, east, you get it. But at this farmer's market, I'm not in Austin. I'm in the city of Sunset Valley.
We're in a city, but within a larger city, which is the city of Austin. Any idea why this just isn't the city of Austin?
I don't know. Why would you?
I have no idea. It would have to be, I would think, like an older to newer thing. Is Sunset Valley older than...
Hi, my name is Javier Palomares. I've lived in Austin since 2014, and this is my question for the AT Explained series. How did the Rollingwood, Sunset Valley, and Westlake Hills avoid getting incorporated into Austin?
Do you have any guesses before I kind of tell you what I found out?
Well, particularly in the case of Westlake Hills, since I imagine that it's a rather wealthy community, they have much more political influence than other parts of the Austin metro did. And for whatever reason, they chose not to incorporate into Austin.
Palomares is right about the wealth. All of these cities have homes that sell for much more than homes in the city of Austin. But this story is about timing. For that, let's go to Austin city planner Virginia Collier.
You can't come in and annex another city that already exists.
A city can only annex land that's in what's called its ETJ.
Which is the extraterritorial jurisdiction, so it's unincorporated area surrounding the city limits, and cities are authorized to annex into their ETJ.
Rollingwood, Sunset Valley, and Westlake Hills all incorporated in the 50s and 60s.
In old annexation files, that was a period of time where cities were growing, and yeah, so I assume those communities kind of got together and decided we want to incorporate and held an election, and that's kind of how they came into being.
So that's it. These three cities incorporated before Austin could annex them. But why didn't they want to be a part of Austin?
As a child, I remember meetings between my father and a lot of other men taking place in the living room of our house. My mother explained that the men were upset that the city of Austin might take us in and charge us a lot of money.
Shanti Jayakumar reads an account written by Frank E. Schofield. He was the son of Frank L. Schofield, the city of Rollingwood's first mayor. Jayakumar is a local historian.
And so he says here, what is the best part of living in Rollingwood? He says, freedom from the bureaucracy of Austin.
Rollingwood and Westlake Hills both charge minimal city property taxes. In Sunset Valley, there are no city property taxes. These governments rely heavily on sales taxes. I asked Jayakumar if that sense of independence Frank Schofield talked about is still alive among residents in Rollingwood.
It was built on volunteerism, and it still is. Every single member of our city council, including the mayor, are all volunteers.
According to Jayakumar's research, the city had a volunteer fire department until 1985. An old newspaper article describes the bunch as, quote, a motley group that consists of teenagers, retirees, doctors, dancers, civil servants, rednecks, accountants, and even a little old lady in tennis shoes. Westlake Hills has its own interesting origin story. In 1937, a man named Polk Shelton was running for Congress. He lost the Democratic primary to a guy named Lyndon B. Johnson. Shelton, his brother Emmett, and others who had worked on the campaign wanted to blow off the rejection.
They got themselves a bottle of brown whiskey.
Jeffrey Doshin is Emmett Shelton's stepson.
And they drove off on top of one of these hills. It might have been Knob Hill, or maybe it was Caravan Circle, but one of these hills, and they started drinking this whiskey, and they started talking about what a bunch of SOBs the other side represented. And the other fella said, well, Emmett, you own all this land out here. They said, why don't you start your own city, and we'll invite only the ones that are on the right side of the issues, which happened to be whatever side they were on.
15 years later, we got Westlake Hills.
They just wanted to have, you know, kind of a separate area where they could, you know, craft the kind of city that they all thought would be appreciated. And that is really pretty much what you see today, which is large lots, lots of trees.
All three of these cities have a more suburban feel. Most homes have at least 1 acre of land, for example. But you're lucky if you can afford to live out here. The median home value in Rollingwood and Westlake Hills is $1 million. It's a little cheaper, not much, in Sunset Valley. These cities are also predominantly white. In the case of Westlake Hills, 81% of the residents are white. Back when these cities incorporated, you needed a population of at least 200 people. Here's Doshin from Westlake Hills again.
So what they'd do is they'd go out and they would they would go to the first resident and they'd say, do you want to be in the new city or not in the new city? And if they said yes, they'd draw the line around them. And then they'd go to the next one. And if the next one said no, they didn't want to be in the new city, they'd draw them out.
These boundaries eventually got Westlake into trouble. In 1969, a group of Travis County residents just outside Westlake sued over the city's boundaries. These residents wanted to be annexed by Austin. This led to a court declaring the formation of Westlake Hills illegal. For about a year, the city actually ceased to exist, at least formally. In 1971, the Texas Supreme Court reversed the lower court's decision, ruling that
the main body of the city of Westlake would stay intact as a city, which was wonderful. But that the strip going out along Westlake Drive and Lake Austin, coming back around to Davenport and back over to Bee Creek, would no longer be considered, you know, city of Westlake.
The disputed piece of land was given to Austin. Back in Rollingwood, Jayakumar has binders upon binders of oral histories and newspaper clippings documenting that city's history. She served on the city council for 2 terms.
I don't want to brag, but I did get the top vote both times.
Each campaign, she knocked on the door of every single home in the city. Roughly 1,500 people live in Rollingwood.
You have to relate to people on a personal basis. And I found that Rollingwood is very special that way. People care about each other, you know?
Doshin likes that about Westlake, too.
You know, you pull up to the stop sign out here, and chances are pretty good you're going to know the people that are, you know, in the other parts of the intersection with you. I like that. You know, it's a good feeling.
Is that small-town feel tucked inside a big city, if you can afford it? Audrey McGlinchey, KUT News.